Here we go. I want to talk about the ideas behind the Dalit Tzomot. Let me start with something which I'll be like borderline provocative. Every year, less so now, like, when I was younger, this was a bigger thing. You'd always find articles or people who would say, why are we fasting the Dalit Tzomot? By the way, what are the Dalit Tzomot? Let's just get it out of the way.
Som Gedalia.
Som Gedalia. Tisha.
Yotevei.
And Tisha B'Av. Right. Those are the four. Yom Kippur is obviously not part of that. Yom Kippur is D'oraisa. These four are Drabbanan. And Tanis Esther is not part of these four either. It's on an even lower level. But these four are as a group. Why do we fast these four Taniyos?
Beit HaMikdash.
Destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. That's the simplest answer. That's the correct answer. So, certainly after the Six-Day War and beyond, there would always be people who would ask, shouldn't we rethink? Meaning, we seem to be on our way to some kind of, Yemot HaMashiach. I don't know, we think well of the modern state of Israel. It's you know, Reishit Tzmichat, it's all things, people always suggest these things. Maybe we shouldn't. So let's be very clear, we should, the halacha is we should. But that doesn't mean that it's not a good question, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be thinking in these terms and trying to understand why we fast, what the historical implications of the fast are, and what does it mean to fast Bizman Hazeh in the modern state of Israel, literally as we are in the modern state of Israel, in 5775, where we are in, you know, in the unfolding of history. I want to talk about that, and I also want to talk about at the end our relationship to fasting generally, like what it means to fast and what the idea behind the fast should be. Okay. If I ask you, can you think of some other time in history that was some kind of historical parallel to the situation we find ourselves in today, which is things seem to be going pretty well, but they're certainly not as good as, God willing, they will be one day.
1491.
Exactly. I know what you're talking about.
Pre-expulsions.
Do better than that.
Okay, that was pretty good times.
Do better than that. I'm not looking for a year.
Pre-Holocaust?
I'm not looking for a year. Okay, I was hoping, because this is what... Bayit Sheni was a time in which things were good, but not great. And, you know, you could argue about how good or how great. But certainly there was a time, if you can imagine, Bayit Sheni didn't come down mishamayim. You know, there was a return from Bavel of, sadly, only 48 and somewhat thousand people. And there was the slow slog, a six-year period of rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. And even when it was rebuilt, right, the Navi is clear that people who remembered Bayis Rishon cried because Bayit Sheni was such a pale comparison. So, if you need to pick out some kind of period and say, how did people relate to the Dalit Tzomot during Bayit Sheni? How did people relate to the Dalit Tzomot when we seem to be making progress, but who knows if it's enough progress? The answer is pretty much found in the Navi Zechariah. We'll start there, and then we'll get to the more, you know, traditional halachic sources, not the Pesukim or not. Look in source number one. This is the beginning of Zechariah, the seventh parak in Zechariah. Fascinating thing. Vahi bishnat arba ledayovesh hamelech, hayad var Hashem el Zecharia ba'arba ala chodesh hatshi b'kislev. Okay, the nevuah took place in Kislev. It's the middle of the winter, more or less. And the nevuah took place in the fourth year of Daryavesh hamelech. Anybody have any idea what was going on in the fourth year of Daryavesh? Huh? Well, the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt in the sixth year. It was completed in the sixth year, and we think it was started in the second. So the way I imagine it, in the fourth year when this took place, you know, if you went to Yerushalayim, you saw like these big earth-moving machines on the Har HaBayis. There was scaffolding. Stuff was going on. There were signs, no entry. You know, you could see the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt. Okay? Pasuk Bet. A delegation comes from Bavel. Sadly, most Jews still live in Bavel. a delegation comes from Bavel to ask the following question of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Le'mor al ha-kohanim asher le'beit Hashem tzvakot ve'al ha-nevi'im le'mor. Here's the question. Ha'evkeh b'chodesh ha-chamishi. What's that? What's chodesh ha-chamishi?
Yom Kippur.
Av. Nisan Iyar Sivan. It's Av. Okay. Ha'evkeh b'chodesh ha-chamishi. He nazer, should I refrain? Kasher asiti zeh kameshanim. What's the question?
Tisha B'Av.
What's the question?
Shall we fast Tisha B'Av?
Yeah. We've been fasting all these years since Churban Bayis Rishon. Should we continue? Why are they asking? Because things are getting better. And because there's a Beis HaMikdash being built. And they want to know. Okay. So first of all, for anybody who thought it was a stupid question, you could apologize to me now. Because it was the question that the Jews asked Zechariah, and it made it into the...
Zechariah?
Huh?
Zechariah?
Well, it is, because it was two full prakim. No, because it mattered. Okay, you're saying they could take advantage of a bad question also. But I think, Lemaise, it's a very good question. And I think we should be thinking in these terms, even though, let's be very, very clear, unless something great happens in the next 48 hours or so, we'll be fasting on Sunday. We'll be fasting 3 weeks from now, sadly. We have to fast that halacha, but we have to think about it also. Now, what's the answer? So I want to be clear. The question is asked at the beginning of the 7th parak of Zechariah. The answer is given at the end of the 8th parak of Zechariah. I'll talk about what's in between later. But here's the answer. Vayidva Hashem tzvakot elai leimor. Famous pasuk for many reasons, including the halacha. Here it comes. Kom Hashem tzvakot. Som harivii. What's that?
No.
Shivasar b'tam. V'tzom hachamishi. Av. V'tzom hashvii. Tzom gedalia. V'tzom haasiri. Right. Yihiyeh lebeit Yehuda lesasonu lesimcha ulemoladim tovim veha'emet veha'shalom ehavu. This is one of these psukim everybody knows by heart, but nobody knows what it means. What's the answer? What did Navi tell them? Should they fast or not?
Yes.
How do you know? What does it say?
They will be.
So all these things are evil lesasonu simcha ulemoladim.
Yeah.
Things happen, you'll slowly build it. This bad, they'll fast, you'll slowly the fifth, the seventh.
Right. Okay, so one thing is for sure. It's not a clear answer. Believe me, it's not a clear answer. Everybody's confused. It's kind of like a cryptic enigmatic. It's not clear. You guys all may be right. And we'll see that in a few minutes. But admit that the answer of the Navi is not clear. Now, forget everything I said till now. Okay? Just forget and let's start someplace else. Let's start with a Mishnah... On Yud Ches Amud Aleph and Rosh Hashanah, it's number 2 on the sheet. The Mishnah says, Al Shisha Chadashim HaShluchin Yotzin. What's going on in the Mishnah?
They're sending Shluchin to say that the Rosh Chodesh is.
Right, it's Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi HaRi'iyah. People need to know when Rosh Chodesh is. Why only 6 months? No, why not every month?
Because some aren't important when Rosh Chodesh is.
So presumably they always got the word out, but this involves Chilul Shabbos. Like sometimes it's really, really important to get the word out, sometimes it's less important. Here it comes. What are the 6 months? Says the Mishnah, Al Nisan Mipnei HaPesach. Obviously, people need to know what Pesach is. Al Av Mipnei HaTainis. Need to know when to fast. Al Elul Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. Is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So you couldn't send people out on Rosh Chodesh, so you do it in Elul with the assumption that Elul is always Chaser. Okay? Then Al Tishrei again, Mipnei Takana Samoados, even though we're pretty sure that we got it right, and El was a chaser. Nevertheless, for Sukkos, we send people out for Shmini Atzeres so they can know for sure. Al Kislev b'pnei Chanukah v'al Adar b'pnei Apurim. By the way, fascinating that two drabbanans got in here. Okay, Shavuos doesn't need it. Why not?
Pesach.
No.
Because of
the Omer.
Yeah, Pesach.
That's why I said Pesach.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
It's always been.
I thought you said Pesach, not the Omer. Okay, that's what you meant. Okay, sorry. And Ukshaya Beit HaMikdash Kayam Yotzin Af Aliyah Mipnei Pesach Katan. And in the old days they had Pesach Sheni, so they sent that Shluchim for Iyar also. Now, what's the obvious question? Again, just to reset. We saw in the Pasuk in Zechariah that there's a group of four fasts. Whether we understood the answer or not, what was clear in the Pasuk is that all four belong to the same group. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the question?
Why does that
major not help?
Exactly.
Three other ones.
Exactly. That's the question, and that's the question the Gemara is then going to ask. He asks the Gemara, V'lifku nami atamuz v'teves. Why aren't shluchim also going out for shivasar v'tamuz and asar v'teves? Why is there no question about Tzom Gedalia?
Because
it's in Tishrei. Excellent. Fine. So it's only two we have a question on. Dom Rav Chana bar Biznam, Rav Shimon Chasida, Mai Dichsiv Ar Pasuk, Ka Masher Tzvako, Tzom Arvi v'tzom ha-chamishi v'tzom ha-shvi v'tzom ha-sri, Yihiyah le-beit Yehuda le-sason u-le-simcha. Answers the Gemara, Karu luhu tzom, asks the Gemara, sorry, Karu luhu tzom, v'karu luhu sason u-le-simcha. What's going on? On the one hand, the Pasuk refers to them as fast days. On the other hand, the Pasuk says, they'll be sason u-le-simcha. Which is it? Answers the Gemara, Bizman sheyesh shalom, Yihiyu le-sason u-le-simcha, Ein shalom tzom. But don't worry, that's not how we paskin. Here's the way we really paskin. Amar of Papa, Hachri Kamar. Slightly more nuanced. Bizman sheyesh shalom, Yihiyu le-sason u-le-simcha. When it's shalom, there'll be holidays. Yeshmad, then tzom. They're fast. Ein shmad, ve'ein shalom, ratzu mitanin, ratzu ein mitanin. What's the din? The din is, if there's shalom, then those 4 days become yomim tovim. That's what the Navi meant, they're sason v'simcha. If there's shmad, then they're mandatory fasts. If there's neither shalom or shmad, then what? Ratzu misanin, ratzu ein misanin, which means?
You're going to choose.
Optional. Optional. Now, how does that answer the question?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. Excellent. So the Gemara goes further. Ihachi Tisha B'Av Nami. If the point you're making is it was a time of not shalom and not shmat, so they don't have to send that shluchim because it was all optional, so why they send shluchim for Tisha B'Av? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Papa, Shaini Tisha B'Av. No, Tisha B'Av is different. Ho'il v'huch b'lu b'otzarot. We'll try to translate. What would you say huch b'lu b'otzarot means?
It's been like many.
Ah, so one is double. From the word kefel, what would that mean? Double.
I mean, it has double, like because it has. Even though when it's a non-happy non.
No, but specifically, what's the double about Tisha B'Av?
Two Batei Mikdash.
The same thing happened twice. Two Batei Mikdash were destroyed. For sure, that's that shot. Otherwise, Huchbulu just means many bad things happen. Just to be clear, you know the Mishnah in Tanya says five bad things happen on Shabbos, but Thomas five bad things happen on Tisha B'Av. So Huchpulu has to have something more than just a lot of bad things. It's either the same bad thing happened twice, or the bad things that happened were more severe. The Amar Mar, B'tishava of Charava Bayit Barishona U'Bishnia, which would support the double, but then it also says, V'nilke da Beitar, V'nechrisha Ha'ir. Okay, but Beitar was destroyed, Yerushalayim was plowed over, so bad things happened on Tishava. So just to get the flow, the question was, if all four fast days are of the same severity, because that's what the Pasuk says, right? Mm-hmm. How come Shluchim don't go out for all of them?
Because they're optional.
The answer is, three are optional in a time of Ein Shalom V'Ein Shmad. Three are optional, but the fourth, Tisha B'Av, is, since Huch B'Lu Bo Tzaraot, it falls into a different category. Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, very important. We have to figure out what these terms mean, otherwise we won't be able to do the analysis. What does shalom mean?
Peace.
What does peace mean?
Go ahead. Prosperity.
Cut that out. No. It doesn't mean prosperity. What does it mean?
It means no fighting.
No, it doesn't mean that. It means like absence of war. Okay? Question.
Not internal. From externals, right?
Well, I assume internal war is even worse. The idea of having external shalom and an internal shalom would be a disaster.
Okay.
So, that's one possibility. What's another possibility? Chaim, you said it.
Beit HaMikdash.
Right. So, shalom is a euphemism. If there's a Beit HaMikdash, life is great. If not, not. Okay, now. First of all, those two shittos are wonderfully, that we said them, they're both found in Rishon. Okay, Look on the sheet. Rashi in number 3. Rashi on that Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Yudches Mabei, says, Sheyei Shalom, She'ein Yad HaGoyim Tekefa Al Yisrael. Shalom means what I would call political sovereignty. The hand of the Gentile doesn't, you know, we're not under the pressure of somebody telling us what to do. Okay? Ritva, number 4, Ritva on that same sugya says, Ela Amru, Ki Bizman Sheyei Shalom, Kilomar Sheyisrael Shruyin Al Admatam. Ubeit HaMikdash Kayam. The Ritva says, Shalom means there's a Beit HaMikdash. Then Yehiyu L'Sasonu L'Simcha. V'im Ein Shalom, namely, Shebeit HaMikdash Charev, then there won't be Sasonu V'Simcha. Okay? So simply, obviously, if the Ritva's right, there couldn't possibly be a Hava Amina that Bizman Hazeh, in the modern state of Israel, we have a time of Shalom, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. But what about according to Rashi? What do we say then? Could somebody argue that we live in a time of Shalom nowadays?
Yeah, you can make machloket. There's only some machloket, say that.
No, I'm asking the question. Josh, you read the newspaper. We listen to the news. We live in Israel now. Right. It could be that Yad HaGoyim Tkefal Yisrael, meaning we care very much what Obama thinks. Right? We care very much what the UN thinks. All I'm saying is, if the Ritva is right, there's nothing to talk about. If we passing like Rashi, you could have a conversation about maybe we live in a time of Shalom, although if you ask me, I would probably lean to the side that we don't, because I think we're not really as independent as we'd like to be. Yes, we have our own sovereign state, and presumably America wouldn't attack us if we disrespected the president, but we still have to care very much what other people say. So it's an open question. That's Shalom. What's Shmad?
Religious sanctions.
You know when you see it, right? I don't think, could anybody claim we live in a time of Shmad?
No. I mean,
can't be.
Certain countries in the Middle East.
Okay, we live in Israel. Okay, but the Jewish people on the whole, I would not be willing, you know, life may not be great in all cases, but I'd be offended by the idea that we live in a time of Shmad. I'll say this, you know, if you lived 70 years ago and you were in Europe, my guess is if somebody told you 70 years from now there'd be a sovereign state of Israel with its own army and the worst thing would be have to worry about Obama, the guy would say, that's Shalom. That it would be way beyond his dreams. So we ought to, you know, a little perspective is, if it's not Shalom, it's certainly not Shmad. That means we're Ein Shalom, the Ein Shmad, Ratzu Misan and Ratzu Ein Misan. Okay? Now, it's clear that we accepted upon ourselves the fast. The halacha is the fast. It is the halacha. It's also clear that Tisha B'Av took on a different identity than the other three fasts. Why?
Because Nichbulet.
But you have to say two things. So Tisha B'Av wasn't part of Ratzu Misan, Ratzu Ein Misanin, because Hufbulu Botzarot. So what does that mean? So if you look in the Me'iri, in number 5, the Me'iri says, V'Tisha B'Av Einu Bichlal Zeh. Tisha B'Av was never part of the group. Ela Be'ein Shmad Ve'ein Shalom Mitanin Bo, Ho'il V'Hufbulu Botzarot V'Yom Atani. The Me'iri sounds like it was never up to us. Tisha B'Av was always different because Hufbulu Botzarot. Now, if Tisha B'Av was always different because Huch B'Lu Bo Tzarot, why are all four grouped together in the Navi? Why does the Chayyar group them all together?
Because they're all Beit HaMikdash focused at the end of the day.
No, say something better. What's Huch B'Lu Bo Tzarot?
2.
Okay. What hadn't yet happened?
Oh, the second Beit HaMikdash.
Right. When Zechariah talked about all four, the reason why they're grouped together in a group of four with the same severity is because hopefully the answer is Huchbulu Botzarot meant the same thing happened twice, and Bayesheni hadn't happened yet. So therefore, when Bayesheni happened, then Tisha B'Av became a much worse day, and then it went from being optional to being mandatory. But what's clear, by the way, mandatory in one of two ways, either the Me'iri's way, that it became mandatory automatically, or as we'll see in a minute, the Rambam's way, that we chose to make it mandatory. Yes?
If the other fast days are also for the Beit HaMikdash, why can't we assume that one of the other fast days have Huch B'Lu
Because the fact is otherwise. Only one thing happened on Song Gedalia. That's the death of Gedalia. Only one thing happened on Asar Batavius.
Shivaz Asar Batavius, they
finished
us twice.
It's a good question. Shivaz Batavius has five things listed in the Mishnah, but then they're not. I think the answer is they're not nearly as bad as the five things that happened on Tisha B'Av, right? Including going back to Chei HaMeraglim, which made it, you know, a Bechi Ledoros on that day. But it's a fair question. If we had more time, we could play more with that question. I think that's why Huch Blu Bo Tzorot, the better pshat, is the same thing happened twice. The walls of Yerushalayim were not breached on the same day twice. We just do them both on Shivas or B'Tamuz. Almost certainly the first time was the ninth of Tammuz. It's a big machlokas about that. Okay, we shorthanded it. We shoved them all together to make the day, I don't know, more significant, but because those things happened on that day. Now, something interesting. Who gave us permission to have fast days that are only 12 hours long? I say 12 hours, you know what I mean. From morning till night. So the answer almost certainly is the following. There's only one model for a fast in the Torah. And that's 25, that's Yom Kippur. Not just 25 hours, but with Inuyim. Right? No wearing shoes, no washing yourself, no Tashmish HaMidah. That's what a fast is Midoraisa. So clearly what happened was, when we decided Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin, when the other three fast days became optional, we said, you know what? We'll accept them, right? They're mandatory. You look in Shulchan Aruch, we have to fast those days. But we're not going to accept them with all the Chumras. And we said, we'll accept Shivas Batamuz and some Gedalia and Asar B'Teves, but not on the level of Yom Kippur. That's clearly what happened. Everybody with me?
I mean, does it have a lot of nachmias for the Shmad? Because then in Makom and Shmad, they would all be the same.
Ah, so fascinating. I didn't want to say that yet, but I'll do that now.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. You're not messing me up. It's fine. I'm a professional. Rav Soloveitchik said this. This is really, there was a time of Shmad not that long ago, right? It's called the Holocaust. And L'chol Adeos, that was Shmad. And he said that Gidola Yisrael, people who were clued into halacha, fasted all four fasts for 25 hours with all the inuyim. That's a fascinating thing. You know why? Because that's the din. Because the din is, we just got used to living in a time of ein shalom ve'ein shmad, so the fasts are voluntary, and if they're voluntary, we could do them the way we agreed to do them. But if you lived in a time of shmad, the only model for a fast day is Tisha B'Av. The only model for a fast day is Yom Kippur. And you have no choice. That's a fascinating thing. And the deeper point that I'll make now, rather than later, but it's fine. The deeper point is, you know, it's not always as simple as looking in Shulchan Aruch. There's much more behind the history of the fasts than, you know, these are the three, these are the kulos for these are the chumras for these. Because it really does depend on the time you live in. Now, let's move on to Bayisheni for a second. And look at the Rambam and the Perish HaMishnayis on the Mishnah that we started. The third Mishnah, the first parak of Rosh Hashanah. Says the Rambam, this is really unbelievable. The Rambam says, Ubebayisheni lo hayu mitanin, lo asiri b'tevet v'lo shiva asar b'tamuz, not the other ones, ela harotze yitaneh o shelo yitaneh. Exactly as we've seen. It was not mandatory. However, says the Rambam, v'hayu mit anin Tisha B'Av. They fasted in Bayisheni on Tisha B'Av. Afal pi shehu masur l'ritzonam, even though, unlike the Meiri, the Rambam says we always had a choice about Tisha B'Av, but we chose to fast then. Mipnei shehuch bulu botzarot, k'mo sheitvaer b'taniot. So, it's strange. I mean, imagine this. Why do you fast? Okay, you're in the Beit HaMikdash. You're in Bayisheni, and you're fasting because the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. That's a tough one. I'll tell you what I thought of, because I know somebody who this happened to. It's like, you know, observing the yard site of your first wife, you know, when you're happily remarried. Your first wife dies, a tragedy. It's awkward. Imagine mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash while you're in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, how could the Rambam possibly claim that this is what happened? What's the Rambam Shita in Shalom? What's the answer? No. Shalom is political sovereignty. What do we know about the time of Bayis Sheni? The last thing we had was political sovereignty. We needed the permission of Koresh and Daryavesh and their blessing to do anything. We were a vassal state to Bavel. They let us build the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam clearly holds like the Ritva, the Rambam clearly holds like Rashi, that the definition of Shalom is political sovereignty. We didn't have political sovereignty, nothing doing. You have to fast, and you have to fast mandatorily, because that's what it's all about. Okay? That's pretty interesting. What else do you know about what the Rambam thinks about Huchbulu Bo Tzarot? The answer is he doesn't paskin like you. He may paskin like, I don't know if he paskin like him, he doesn't paskin like you. Why? What didn't happen yet?
Second.
Right. So Huchbulu Bo Tzarot must have meant something other than the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed twice. For the Rambam, it must be that Chet HaMeraglim was so significant, or the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, whatever it was, that has to be the case for the Rambam, because otherwise there's no explanation. Huchbulu Bo Tzarot forced them to fast on Tisha B'Av during Bayis Sheni. These other things hadn't happened yet. Beitar hadn't been destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash hadn't been destroyed, the city hadn't been plowed over. All you had was Chet HaMeraglim and Churban Bayis Rishon. But the answer is those were incredibly significant. And probably that's what the Rambam meant. Okay, now, the Rambam Shita is so surprising. If you had asked me before I saw this, did they fast on Tisha B'Av during Bayis Sheni? I'd say there's no way. It's crazy. How could you possibly fast when there's a Beis HaMikdash? So, luckily for me, the Tashbates also thought the Rambam was out of his mind. Didn't make sense. Look at number 7. The Tashbates, Chelek Beis, Simon, Reish Ayin Aleph, says as follows. Ubeperish HaMishnayis LaHarambam Zal Ra'iti Divrei Tema. That's a great way. That's like how Rishonim are respectful and yet hinting at the fact that this doesn't make any sense. I saw like the most amazing thing, he says. Shehu Mifareisham Shebimei HaMikdash Hayu Mit Anin Ba'av. And here's the money line. He says, Vim Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam Hayu Mit Anin Ba'av Im Kein Pradich Siv Da'avi Sason Masai Yihyezeh. You understand? He says, I don't understand what the Rambam's talking about. The Pasuk says one day will be Sason V'Simcha. If they fasted when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when's that ever going to happen? What's the answer?
It's never going to happen.
Wrong. What's the answer?
Mashiach, Rashi.
The answer is the Rambam holds like Rashi. There was no political sovereignty in Bayis Sheni. So it's great that there was a Beis HaMikdash. But that's not what we're looking for. Or that's not all that we're looking for. And therefore, they had to fast.
Does that generally have a tkufa that was translated? Political sovereignty?
To what? Yad agam tkufa? You could do better. I think it's the right way to say it.
You're saying in a modern context, it might seem like back then it wasn't just political sovereignty. It was safety as well.
Yeah, but that's not what Rashi says. Oh, you want to read Rashi to become about safety?
No, I don't know. I think Rashi could be more expansive than just political sovereignty.
Okay, I've always understood it. She'en yadagim tkeifal Yisrael. You're saying, oh, that means they could hurt us.
I mean, tkeifal is like an oppressive force. It doesn't.
Okay, I don't think that that's generally how it's understood, but you're right. It's much more nuanced than me just saying political sovereignty. But let me get away with it because it's too nuanced to otherwise.
It's hard to understand in that context anyway.
But watch what happens now. No, because I'll show you. Well, first of all, we'll finish the Tashbates, but then I'll come back to your point. The Tashbates says, this is what happens when you really don't like something. Last full line in 7 says the Tashbates, V'nira shemasha kasef harav zal v'zeh huto sofer. Hey, I'm sure the Rambam didn't mean it. It wasn't, you know, some Talmud heard it, wrote it down. Again, it's easier to claim to sofer in the Perash HaMishnayis because it was written in Arabic and then translated to Hebrew. So, you know, things did happen. There are many, many places in the Perash HaMishnayis where, you know, it had to be fixed later on and even till today. Rav Kapach didn't die that long ago, and it's his translation that we really think now is the most accurate. And he's fixed a lot of things in the Perash HaMishnayis. Okay? Anyway, that's the Tashbates. I'm a little shocked that the Tashbates didn't just line up the Rambam with Rashi and realize that there was an explanation for it, but I think, like, emotionally, it was just inconceivable to him that we could possibly fast on Tisha B'Av when there's a Beis HaMikdash. It really is.
Why is it so inconceivable?
Because you're fasting over the morning of the Beis HaMikdash, and there's a Beis HaMikdash.
So why can't you say that the morning of the fasting is just...
You can come up with a cool svara, but like...
Emotionally, it's bothersome.
The Gemara talks about the Beis HaMikdash being a svara, so you fast.
It hurts a little bit to mourn the Beis HaMikdash when the Beis HaMikdash is there.
Yeah, just imagine yourself doing it. Like, think about the emotional. Like if you take your head out of the Gemara and look up, like, you know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Okay, and yet that's the Rambam. Yeah. Now, why am I sure that really is the Rambam? Because that's the Rambam in a few places. We'll just look at one of them. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Tes Halacha Beis, number 8 on the sheet, says as follows. Why do we want Yimos HaMashiach? Says the Rambam, Kidei sheyanuchu mimalchiyot she'enan manichot lahem lasok batara v'mitzvot kahogen. Because in Yimos HaMashiach, you know what's going to happen? The Gentiles will leave us be. We'll be able to do what we want. You understand? The Rambam doesn't talk about the Beis HaMikdash. He just says, what I would translate, although Josh will be offended, it's too simplistic, political sovereignty. We'll be on our own. Ulefikach yilmad kol ha'am v'yoreh otam derech Hashem v'yavoh kol ha'agim l'shomo. We will be able to build a society that is not subject to, you know, a week ago I would have just said, not subject to political pressure, but now I'll say not even subject to like Western liberal pressures.
International just be, pressure.
Huh?
International pressure.
Well, I'm talking about both moral and political, but I don't want to get off the topic now, even though I'm obsessed with the other thing. Okay, and here's the Rambam that everybody knows. Yimot HaMashiach hu ha'olam hazeh ve'olam kimin hago holeich. It's this world, we'll have to work in Yimot HaMashiach. Ela shehamalchut tachzor liYisrael. Josh, you see over and over again, all the references are political. It's true, this is the Rambam, it's not Rashi, but I think it's one school of thought. That's why I think...
I don't know what the phrase means in general.
Huh?
I don't know what the phrase means in general. So just...
What phrase? Hamalchut tachzor liYisrael means political sovereignty will return to the Jewish people. Let's just finish. Ukvar amru chachamim roshonim, ein be'elam razel imot ha-mashiach, ela shibud malchiyot bilvad. Shibud malchiyot bilvad, I think, is understood to be a political reference.
Also, but the Rambam never read Rashi.
So...
Said who, first of all? Well, doesn't he in the middle of the Gemara Nebuchim talk about how he wishes there was a big leader in Tzfat, in that Tzarfat?
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know what? It doesn't matter. We figured that on our own, right? I asked, what does Shalom mean? One of the two options given was a form of political sovereignty. The Rambam was probably smarter than we are. If we thought of it, he could have thought of it. He didn't need Rashi. I'm lining them up because it's easier to line them up. But the Rambam learned the sugya. The Rambam always understood that political sovereignty is what we're looking for, because political sovereignty allows us to build a society along the lines that we want to build. You could give all these historical reasons why the Rambam would have thought that way. The Rambam lived in political oppression, but I didn't want to do that. The Rambam thought that was pshat in the Gemara. That's what Shalom meant. That's what Yimos HaMashiach is. It fits nicely. Okay? We're good so far? So what do we have? We have a pasuk that puts all four fast days together. It turns out that they don't really all go together. It's three in one. Why? Because if there's Ein Shalom ve'Ein Shmad, all the fast days are Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin, except for Tisha B'Av, because Huchbulu Bo Tzarot, so Tisha B'Av became mandatory, and the machlokas simply was, what's the definition of Shalom? What's the definition of maybe Shmad? Okay, but we're all pretty good now. We're all caught up. Last thing to make the point, this is the point Chaim made before, about the severity of Tisha B'Av. Remember, so I quoted the Rav as having said that in the Holocaust, people fasted Tisha B'Av, Kichol Chumra of, they fasted all four, like Tisha B'Av, because it was a time of Shmat. I think that's Pshat in the Tosfos. Look at number 9, Tosfos in Megillah, this is a very famous Tosfos. Hey, I'm in Beis. The Gemara there says, Ubikesh la'akar Tisha B'Av lo hodu lo. Rebbe tried to uproot Tisha B'Av, and Chachamim didn't agree, and Tisha B'Av stayed in its place.
Ask Tosfos Kasha. Hey Chasal Kedai Toch Tehaitan of the Rebbe. Haya Rotsa Lako Tisha B'Av Legamre. How could it be that he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av? I'm reading Gemara in Tainus says, Kala Ochel B'Shosa B'Tisha B'Av. Eino Ro'eh B'Nechama Shel Yerushalayim. You can't just stop observing Tisha B'Av. Va'od. Daha ein beis din yachol levatel divrei beis din chavero elim kin gadol heimenu b'chachmo v'minyan. Two things. One, the Gemara says, sort of emotionally, it's inconceivable we would stop mourning the churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And second of all, Rebbe must have known he wasn't in a position to uproot that which was established before him. The mechanic of halacha wouldn't allow him to do it. So what's going on? Answers Tosfos, third line from the bottom, in the middle, v'yesh lomar, d'lo rasa la'okro, ela mechumra sheyesh bo yoser mishar taniyot. All he wanted to do, he didn't want to uproot Tisha B'Av. He wanted to uproot it from the chumros that we accepted. Meaning, he wanted to turn Tisha B'Av into Shivasa B'Tamuz and Som Gedalia and Asar B'Teves, a 12-hour fast without all the other inuit. Now, just now speculating, but why?
Because
I'd like to think Rebbe lived in a pretty good time.
Didn't he?
Right? Baba was great when Rebbe lived there. I'm sorry, right. Like, when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did his, well,
because like, didn't he write this whole thing down because there were terrible times?
I know because of persecution, because people were forgetting. Okay, you know what? I admit it to speculating, and it could be maybe my speculation is wrong. But the bottom line is, you see that even Rebbe, in his time, realized or tried to play with the chumrah of Tisha B'Av. Again, I would like to claim that it had to do with the fact that they didn't live in a time of Shmad. So maybe that gave him an opening to say we don't have to treat it that way.
I mean,
but maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, no, we know Rebbe had at least an inn in the Roman government. We know that he talks to the official all the time.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Like they didn't have political sovereignty. That's for sure.
No. But the conversations weren't like the previous conversations that Rabbi Akiva had with the Roman government.
Better if you don't like that. I need a Tosus to make that point because I think it's an interesting point. You should just know that the answer that's quoted more often that also leads to interesting conversations is Yesh Lomar. Durafa laoko michi'i ulakavo ba'asiri. Kid Amr of Yochanan, ilu havai hasam kivati ba'asiri. We all know that the Beis HaMikdash was only lit on fire on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. So the machlok is what day they should be koveya. So he's saying, Rebbe wanted to move Tisha B'Av to the 10th of Av. Presumably then they would have to change the name also. Little joke. Thank you for paying attention. For God's sakes. Wouldn't be Tisha B'Av. Okay, fine. By the way, like, no one says we're fasting this year on the 18th. This year we're fasting on the 18th and the 10th, actually, because they're both nidches. But we'll still go with the name. Okay, anyway, so much for that. So, I'm comfortable with what we said till now in terms of the halacha and the point that the halacha is much deeper and much more nuanced than when we normally think about it. When you go back to the Gemara and you see what plays out, at least the question about what do we do in the modern state of Israel is an interesting question and worth thinking about. Although, again, halach l'mais, it's clear we'll be fasting on Sunday again unless something great happens before then. But let's go back to where we started. And where we started was with this delegation coming to Zechariah during the midst of the construction of Bayis Sheni and asking if they should fast. And remember I said they asked the question at the beginning of Perek Zion. And the question is answered at the end of Perek Chet. What happens in between? So this was something I'm pretty sure Reb Liptek pointed out to me many, many years ago. But it's in the Psukim. It's so clear. Watch what happens. Now I'm number 10, reading some Psukim from Perek Zayin and Perek Chet and Zechariah as I skip around a little bit. This is the next Pasuk. Again, if you flip back to the first page, the pasuk before was Ha'ev keba chodesh achamishi hi nazer kasher asiti zeh kamesh shanim. Should I continue fasting on Tisha B'Av? The next pasuk Vahid v'Hashem tzvakot elai lemor Emor el kol am ha'aretz v'lakohanim lemor Ki tzamtem v'safod b'chamishi u'vashvi'i v'zeh shivim shana Hatzom tzamtuni ani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kilu says, you've been fasting all these years. Have I fasted? It gets worse. V'chi tochlu v'chi tishtu. Halo atem ha'ochlim v'atem ha'shotim. God said, you know what God is really saying? as I understand the Nevuah? I don't care. You're asking me the wrong question. Now, what's the right question? Says the Navi. Kom Hashem Tzvakot Leimor. Mishpat Emet Shvotu. Judge fairly, honestly. V'chesed V'rachamim Asu Ish Et Achiv. And be merciful and righteous one to another. V'almana V'yatom. V'ger V'ani. And widows and orphans and poor and strangers. Al Ta'ashom who don't oppress. V'ra'a Ish Achiv Al Ta'achshavu Bilvavchem. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us?
Be good people.
Yeah, if I could say social justice. I could be a bad. You know, Zechariah sounds like, forgive me for saying this, like a reform rabbi. Forget halacha for a second, I promise you. You know, just be good people. That's all we want. Pasuk Yudal, Vayimma Anu Lahakshiv. But oh, you refuse to listen. Vayimnu Katev Sarat Vaznehem Ichbidu Mishmala. You didn't listen. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yudgimu, Vayi Kasher Kara Velo Shameyu. You didn't listen to me. I don't listen to you. And I destroyed the land and I exiled you. Now, some beautiful psukim. There will be a day again. And by the way, this is a nevuah we are seeing happen in our lifetime where old people walk around Yerushalayim. Rav Amitai used to talk about the fact that there used to be no old people. V'ish mish antol biyadom erov yamim. They have to use canes because they're so old. Or chovot ha'ir yimalu. The streets of the city will be filled with what? Yiladim v'yiladot misachakim b'chovotah. A 30-second story. Rav Amitai said, when he came from Europe, one of his first days in Israel, he was walking to yeshiva, and he saw children playing, and he stood like at a fence, and he stared at them. And he creeped them out and they ran away. And he said he had not seen children playing in years. Like, you forget what a bracha it is to have a city full of old people and young people. That's what will happen if what? Ve'heimeti atem otam v'shachnu b'tokh shalayim v'hayalila am what? V'ani alam alohim be'emet u'bitztaka. Only if we're truthful and we're righteous and we're charitable. And again, eila hadvarim asher ta'asu. Dabru emet ishet re'ehu, emet u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'arechem. Be good. V'ishet ra'at re'ehu al tachshavu bilvavchem. Don't think ill of other people. Shvat sheker al tehavu. Ki et kalela asher saneti ne'um Hashem. And then comes the pasuk that we read at the beginning. Soma ribi v'tsoma chamishi v'tsoma asri, etc., etc. On one level, the Navi saying, and this is critical for us, the fast is what we would call the Maisa HaMitzvah. But to fast, and that's all you do, is nothing. The Navi says, you have to ask yourself, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy the Beis HaMikdash? That's the question that has to be asked and has to be answered. And you have to look at it and say to yourself, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed over a bunch of things, and we have to fix those things. And again, in Bayi Sheni, well, at this point, the focus was on building a certain society, a society that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be proud of, a society that we'd be proud of. So now, again, I made a joke, but it's true. Like, it sounds like all that matters is social justice. But after that comes the pasuk of Tzoma Reviv, Tzoma Chamishi, Tzoma Asiri. We have to be able to find a way to do both. And this is the theme of the idea of the philosophy of halacha part, because we've touched on this before, which is trying to balance Maisa HaMitzvah with the chalos of the mitzvah or tameh ha-mitzvah, and trying to access both. There's no question that if you say to me, well, on Sunday, it'll be much easier for me to focus on the churban if I eat. Well, you can't, because the halacha is you have to fast. But if you think that if you fast, you've done all the halacha requires of you, you haven't. Because behind that is the idea behind the fast. And the idea behind the fast is to generate within us a feeling of loss and to allow us to focus on what brought about the loss in the first place. The Rambam says, it's not on the sheet. I just pulled it out in a second. The first Perek Hey of Hilchos Tanios, that I'm talking about, the four fasts, says as follows. Yesh sham yamim shekol Yisrael mitanim bohem mipnei hatzarot she'iru bohen. Why? Kidei le'orer ha'levavot v'liftoach darkei ha'tshuva. The reason we fast is to inspire us to do tshuva. V'yeze zikaron l'ma'aseinu ha'ra'im u'ma'asei avoteinu sh'aya b'ma'aseinu ata ad she'garam lahem v'lanu otan atzarot. She'bizichron dvarim elu nashuv lehitiv shenemar v'hit vaduat avonam v'et avon avotam. And then he says, and these four fast days are Tzom, Gedalia, etc., etc. This is exactly the point. We fast for a dual reason. Well, no, we fast for one reason. To help us recall the loss. And by recalling the loss, we will focus on what we did wrong. And if we focus on what we did wrong, we'll bring ourselves to try to build a society that does right. You know, when Chazal say that any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash wasn't rebuilt, as if it was destroyed, they meant it. You have to believe that if we built a better society and we kept Torah and mitzvahs while building a better society, we would bring the Geula. It's as simple as that. And I feel like, you know, it's so much easier. The message of, the Rav has a piece, by the way, not to talk about now, that Avelos is a form of tshuva. And it's a very deep idea that when you think about loss and you do it intelligently, it forces you to focus on what you did wrong and, you know, to regret things you did wrong and to become a better person. People do that in Avelos all the time, not so much in religious terms, but, oh, I wish I had said I love you more. I wish I had, you know, it forces you to reevaluate your place and reevaluate what you're strong at and what you're weak at and how to make it better. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we're supposed to be doing on the Dalet Tzomot. We have to fast because that's the halacha. But that's just the beginning. The end is the feeling. This is Avelut Yishana. We fast in order to generate a feeling of loss. And the feeling of loss is not the loss of food. The feeling of loss is we lost the Beis HaMikdash. And then you turn to Zechariah and you say, why do we lose the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is, we need two parts to our religious observance. We need to keep Torah mitzvahs, of course. It's the foundation. But we also can't use that as an excuse for not building a just society. I'm not here to support any particular political idea. But we all know, I mean, you look around the state of Israel and just say to yourself, it could be so much better than it is. When you ask yourself, do we live in a time of shalom? Most of us said the answer is no. And you would think it's just out there. If we just made it a better place, if we made it a better society, if we cared more for each other, if politics were more honest and people spoke their minds honestly and really did what they thought was best for the state, we're so close. And to me, those are the things we're supposed to focus on. We're supposed to focus on the fast. We're supposed to focus on the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, at the same time focusing on what it is that we need to do and what we can do to bring the Beis HaMikdash closer. And ultimately, to actually live in a time where the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and we have shalom in both senses of the world. Both political sovereignty, where we could build our own society, and Beis HaMikdash. May it be His will. Amen. Do chesed every day. What do you mean? Huh?